Good morning. How wonderful to see such a lively, engaging bunch this morning. And it is a beautiful morning. And I want to start by singing one of my favorite songs. And there's a very special reason why I like this song, because it was a song I sang the morning my mom passed away. Hallelujah, Schöne Morgen. But I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to sing a different melody. But I want you to join me, if you would take your German hymn books, to number 186. And you will join me on verse 4 and 5. And I'll lead you in. Okay? Thank you.
Halleluja, schöner Morgen, schöner als man denken mag. Heute führ ich keine Sorgen, denn das ist ein Lebetag, der durch seine Lieblichkeit recht das Älteste erfreut. Süßer Ruhetag der Seelen, Sonntag, der vom Licht es ist. Heller Tag in dunkler Höhlen, Zeit, in die der Segen fließt. Stunde voller Seligkeit, treibst mir alles Leid. Ach, wie schmeck ich Gottes Güte recht als seinen Morgentau, da mein sehnendes Gemüte wandelt auf der grünen Au. Dort, wo die Morgenstund Ebenschatz und Gold im Mund.
Verse 4.
Segne Knechte leine Lehren, öffne selber ihren Mund. Mach mit allen, die dich hören, halte deinen gnaden Mund, dass, wenn man hier flieht und singt, solches in dein Herz dringt. Tag beschließe, wer angefangen ist. Segne, pflanze und begieße, der du Herr des Abends bist. Bis ich einst auf jeden Tag ewig Sabbat halten mag.
Thank you. For our call to worship, we gather to praise and honor the Lord, our saving God. As individuals and as a community, we praise and thank our God for giving us a sense of healing and wholeness. When we cried out to you in our sorrow and despair, you turned our nighttime grief into morning's joy. Listening God, we rejoice in the security you give us, because of your past mercy and goodness towards us. Stumbling in the valley, now standing on the mountaintop, diseased with distress, now healed with happiness. Marching to the grave, now skipping with the living. Crying myself to sleep, now laughing myself awake. Was singing the blues, now dancing in the streets. My wardrobe was sadness, now my closet contains joy. And you, Lord, you're the one who did this. Sing praises to the Lord and give thanks to God's holy name, for the Lord our God has healed us. When we cried for help, and he restored us. In times of deepest despair, the Lord God has turned our sorrow into dancing, taken our sackcloth from us, and clothed us with joy. Sing to the Lord without end, and give thanks to the Lord forever.
Both Lainey and Kathy have talked about being thankful today and praising God. And so before we sing number 76, I would like to say that we're thankful that it's Gary's 60th birthday today. And and Carrie and Aaron and I have some cake and ice cream downstairs after the service, after the vote. You can have some of that. So please take your hymn books to number 76. Praise, I will praise you, Lord. Let's stand to sing all three English verses.
Thank you. Welcome this morning. It is true, it is a beautiful day, and I'm happy to see everyone here this morning. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced? Okay, then we'll go on to the community announcements. After a very brief illness, I'm very sad to announce that Kathy Thiessen passed away early this morning. Her funeral will be on Thursday at 11 p.m. here at our church. Our prayers go out to Harry and his family. 11 a.m. in the morning, yes. That's good to know. Gary, we want to say happy birthday to you also, Gary. And he will share a little bit more in a few minutes. Nestory is being treated for malaria, and please keep him in our prayers. Peter Hirschfeld is now out of ICU. He's stabilizing, continues to improve. Henry Fuchs is at Riverview in rehab. He would love to have visitors, and thanks to his church family for all the support and visits he's received up to now. He is in room 4E, or in ward, I think, 4E, room 36. Please continue to keep the family in your prayers. Margarita would like to thank those who have been bringing her soup. It would be a great help to her if you could please label the jars with your name, date, and type of soup. Kimberly Hoban remains in hospital at St. Boniface, and we continue to keep her and her family in your prayers. Hildy Weems has begun her second round of chemotherapy and is encouraged by the results so far. It's really good to have Hildy here this morning. Our featured art wall, if anyone has a few minutes after the service, please check our educational wing. For the month of June, Eric Peters is featuring his work, so please feel free to see that. Now we will have sharing time. I think Gary has the mic, and if anyone has anything that they would like to share.
My name is Helen Cron. I'm the sister to Peter Hirschfeld. I have to share this news with you today because we're just getting bad news today, and I feel so happy that Peter is recovering as quick as he is. Ever since he came out of recovery, out of the coma, he's been progressing every single week. Last week, he could stand on his own with a walker. On Wednesday, when we were there, he could take a few baby steps. Thursday, when we got there, he had walked from his bed with a walker to the door, to the hospital door. So he's improving it every week, and we are still praying for him when we ask for your continued prayer.
Good morning. I just want to thank all of those who have gone to visit Kim this week. She's in good spirits, and I think some of that may be from all those visits. So thank you so much. And now Glenn's going to do a little bit on Nestory.
Just a few details on what's been happening with Nestory. He's actually in Concordia Hospital. He was admitted with brought into emergency with a high fever on, I think, Wednesday evening. He was tested for malaria, and in the course of that, there was a mishap with a spinal tap. And he's had some nerve injury in his spine and is unable to walk and is still in hospital. There's been some signs of improvement. We're hopeful that that things are going in the right direction, but for the moment he's still admitted in the hospital.
If I can add to that, we have the most amazing refugee committee. There are people who have been sitting with him around the clock and being supportive, and there's a never-ending conversation going on with emails. So we certainly have amazing people in our refugee committee. Are there others who would like to share? Maybe I'll just do a very brief update then. A while back I mentioned that I was going to need to take some time for some surgery, and I haven't said anything since because I didn't know what was happening. I just kept going visiting doctors and having tests, and I think they ran out of tests and they said, well, okay. So this last week I sat down and there's some very good news, and the good news is that the surgeon said we're looking at complete recovery. So I was very excited about that. There's some less exciting news, and that is as they were digging around, they found more cancer. So I also have colon cancer, so they said, oh, that's not good. Apparently, they're not even cousins. So what's going to happen is starting in this next week, I think, I'll be having radiation. And as soon as I'm back on my feet, then we'll have surgery for both of the cancers. And then as soon as that's done, then there's chemo. So it's going to be a bit of a marathon, but Carol and I will be here whenever we are up to it, and look forward to continuing to interact with you. The worship committee has done a wonderful job of looking after things this summer. Everything's cared for, and the church council, as you see in your paper, is looking after things for fall. It'll probably be Christmas or so before I'm back, and everything is as it was before. So please keep me in your prayers, and probably Carol more. I'm not a very patient person, and I probably won't be a lot of fun to be around. So pray for Carol.
Let's bow our heads. This morning we pray for people here, filled with despair in our church and in our larger world, who wonder whether you exist and whether you are listening to their prayers, who wonder what this whole community is about. We pray for people who doubt the purpose of life. Give us the wisdom to turn to you, believing in your power to turn sickness into healing, sadness into joy. Ever faithful God, we long to be faithful givers, modeling ourselves on you. May your spirit of abundance, which gives more than we ask or imagine, grace these gifts for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
I forgot to put a note in the bulletin, so my apologies. I'd like to take just a moment to remember our camp workers. I've asked Janet if she would say a little bit about that. So as she's coming up, we are very grateful that we have a camping program that invites our children and youth to understand and respond to God in appropriate ways. We are glad that there's a place where they are invited to enjoy and respect the beauty of God's creation and respect and learn to know each other as well. A place where they're treated as special people before God and encouraged to develop a wholesome sense of self-worth. A place where they are invited to understand and respond to God's love as it is shown us in Jesus Christ. We are very grateful also that there are people who have invested their time in camp. And so, Janet, if you'd share a little bit about what goes on at Camp Sinboy.
Sure. I'll share a little bit about what my role is, and that kind of encompasses a lot of things. So, back in March, I started already. I've been in charge of putting together the Bible curriculum for the summer. So that was an interesting challenge and a lot of fun. Our Bible curriculum for this summer is Superheroes of the Faith, Called to be Courageous. And so our topics are things like having the courage to love and to forgive, the courage to stand firm, the courage to have faith and be kind, those kinds of things. And so we're looking at some of the younger heroes in the Bible, stories of Miriam, of Samuel, of David, the boy with the loaves and fishes, those kind of younger characters in the Bible to connect, hopefully, with the kids in a different way. Then I started in April. I've been working at the camp, doing various things. They call it work crew. So basically helping with cleaning, helping in the kitchen, driving around on the gator and picking up stumps, whatever's needed. And it's been amazing to me to see the groups that come through, not in summertime. Our summer camp is so, we know all about summer camp, but we don't realize that all through the year there are people there who are ministering and witnessing to a whole variety of groups, and it's been really cool to see that. And then I guess sometime in May, we had a week of leadership training, and so all the leadership staff from all the three camps came together, and we got to know each other. There's 13 of us all together, the Bible instructors, the nature instructors, and the summer program directors, as well as the SLT directors, which is they take the kids right out of grade 9 or 10 who are learning and do some training with them, and then the integration coordinator too. And it was amazing to me knowing, okay, I'm 20 years older than all of these, than all of these other leaders. So that was an adventure in and of itself. But I was so impressed with the level of faith in these children, the level of faith in these young people. They're amazing. They're struggling with things as well. We've shared our faith stories, and some of them have so many deep questions and deep struggles that they're already wrestling with. And it was just, it blew my mind. And it was, yeah, it was cool. So I'm excited to work with these people and to have them work with our kids, including my own, who will be going to camp later this summer. So there is lots of stuff going on at camp. They're building cabins at Assiniboia this summer. MDS is going in to do that. I don't know if you've heard about all the renovations they're planning for Camp Assiniboia, but it's amazing what they've got, the vision they've got for that camp. And Moose Lake and Koino are also running their camps. I think they're splitting it. So the leadership team goes from Koino to Moose and back again. The whole summer, over the summer, they will run a full camp, but at two different camps. That's how they've worked that out. I don't know what else to say, but I'm excited for the summer, so it'll be fun.
Thanks, Janet. We asked in the bulletin a while back if those working in camp could let us know, and I thought that Janet was going to be the only one here, so Elma, I'm going to put you on the spot. We'd like to have a blessing and a prayer of dedication both for the camp and the workers. And so to make it easier, we're going to stand down here. And Janet, if you'd come down. Elma, if it's not too scary, if we can get you to come to the front. Do we have other people who are working at camps? Oh, Albert, I didn't see you there. Yes, you are. Are there others here who are going to be working in camp who aren't shy? Okay, I'd like to have a dedication for you, and then I'm going to ask a few people would come and lay hands on you as we pray for you and for the camping ministry this summer. The dedication, or the blessing rather, comes from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Every time we remember you this summer, we will pray for you with a lot of joy, because we are partners in the gospel, even though we'll be at different places. We are confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue this work through the camp this summer. In fact, God will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, if a number of you would come to the front and just to place hands on them on behalf of the congregation, we'll have the rest of the congregation stand, please. Sure, if you can't touch the people, then put a hand on the person who's near, is touching them. Let's pray. God, we are so blessed to have a camping program where we can send children and youth to learn about you, to be blessed, to learn about themselves and who you have created them to be, to learn to respect themselves, nature, and others as well. We also thank you for the way that this touches the lives of the workers, those who go to do Bible training, counselors, kitchen help, whatever it is they're doing, that they also get touched and learn to slow down, enjoy nature, and find you in quiet and calm ways. So we ask that you would bless the camp this year. We ask also that you would be with those who from our church who are going as workers, that you would help them to feel our support as their home church, but also that they would be blessed in a special way as they do their work. Thank you, God, for this extension of our church family. Amen. And now it's time for the children. So if the children would like to come to the front, Mrs. White has a story for you.
Good morning. It's so nice to see so many children here. Oh, yes, last week it was pretty full, too. I think you weren't here last Sunday. It was the Sunday before. It was just, yeah. As I remember, there were lots last week, too. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're all here today. So this morning, the grown-ups are going to be listening to, I think, Pastor Gary talk about Psalm 30. And I don't know if you know, but there's a whole part of the Bible called Psalms, hundreds of chapters, tens of chapters, I guess. And mostly, those are Psalms of praising. So things that we say when we are thanking God. And the one that we're talking about today is talking about joy and happiness. Now, we've talked about this before. Who knows the difference between joy and happiness? Oh, I guess you didn't listen last time. Teachers love that. I get to talk again. So, happiness is what you feel when it's Christmas and you open the present and it's exactly what you wanted and you're very, very happy. Joy comes, let's see if I can attach that to the same idea, when it's Christmas and the presents aren't what you wanted, but you still feel grateful. So maybe you didn't get what you wanted, but you had a really nice time at the party and you saw lots of people that love you and you still can feel joy. Joy happens. You can be sad and have joy. You can be happy and have joy. You can be angry and have joy. Joy is a gift from God that we can own and hold in our hearts. And today that is what I think we're going to be talking about. So you can try listening to Pastor Gary and see if you get that idea too. So joy is something that you can own. Happiness happens often because something happens and you don't really get to hold on to it as long as joy. Okay, let's bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the joy that you can give in our lives, even when we're sad and when we're happy, that we can know that you are near us. Hold us in your hand this week and give us joy. Amen.
Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow. You know all fears and sadness, grace us with your peace and gladness. Spirit of all comfort, fill our hearts. Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow. In the pain and joy beholding, how your grace is still unfolding, give us all your vision, God of love. Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond beyond our sorrow. You know each thought and feeling, teach us all your way of healing. Spirit of compassion, fill our hearts. Leader of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow.
Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 30, verses 1 to 12. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You have changed my mourning into a joyful dance. You have taken away my sorrow and surrounded me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever.
In this gladness, in middle sadness, Jesus, sunshine of my heart, by thee are given the gifts of heaven, thou the true Redeemer art. Our souls awakest, our bonds abreakest, who trust thee surely, hath built securely, he stands forever, hallelujah. Our hearts are pining to see thy shining, dying or living, to thee are cleaving, not can us ever, hallelujah. If he is ours, we feel no prowess, nor of earth, nor sin, nor death. He sees and blesses in worst distresses, he can change them with a breath. With all the story, tell of his glory, with heart and voices, all heaven rejoices in him forever. Alleluia. We shout for gladness, triumph for sadness, love thee and praise thee, and still shall raise thee, glad hymns forever, alleluia.
Come on. Amen. Knew it was in there.
So as I was looking over this material this morning, it dawned on me that I might need to have a definition here. Dancing is good. In this context, I realized the way I grew up, you could interchange the word dancing with anything, smoking. You've turned my sadness into smoking or watching movies or something. But I just wanted you to know, in case you didn't, dancing is good. All right. So, 2 weeks ago, Carrie and I talked about suffering. And we talked about how, while as children of God, we experience the new kingdom through Jesus, we look forward to heaven, but we live in this time in between, and we live in a broken world, and so there's suffering. And it's not our fault, and it's not punishment, and for goodness sakes, it's not fair. So, got that figured out. What I'd like to do today, why didn't we do this sermon that short 2 weeks ago? What I'd like to do today is kind of bring that through to its conclusion and say, so then what? How do we deal with this? Psalm 30, I had this long exegesis I was going to do, and I thought, this may be my last sermon this year, so I better do something that's at least interesting. So we're working at it. Psalm 30, on first blush, the first read-through could have been written for North Americans in 2016. Because what it looks like it says is, so if you have a problem, you're sick, a good person you love is dying, you just got diagnosed with a mental illness, your finances are down the tubes, your kids won't talk to you anymore, your spouse left, whatever. Go and talk to God and He'll fix it. So the psalmist says, it looks like the psalmist was dying, is the situation in this particular psalm. I went to talk to God and I said, come on, not part of the deal. And God said, okay, and even bargains in there. Do you love that? If I die, who's going to praise you? It's a mutually beneficial thing that I stay alive, God. And so God says, okay, and he heals him. And that's what it looks like it's saying. And we read through that and we say, okay. And that's how we live. What do we do when we have problems in our life? We say to people around us, pray that God would fix the problem so I'm okay. So if God would heal whoever's sick, if God would help with the financial situation, if God would make my kids talk to me, if whatever the situation, we pray and say, fix it, God. And we don't want to hear about it again after that. I mean, isn't that what Jesus did? Wandered around and everybody he saw, he fixed them, the blind and the lame and the people who had mental illness and whatever the situation. He walked around and there was just this sea of fixed people behind him. It was wonderful, right? And when it happens, when things go on and we pray and they're better, we appropriately say, hallelujah. Look at that. It's wonderful. God took care of it, and now it's better, and now we can forget about it, and now we move on. What do we do when it doesn't happen? What do we do when we pray for people to get better, for marriages to be healed, mental illness to be addressed, for all of the stuff in our life? What do we do when we pray and it doesn't get better? Exactly. Nothing. In fact, we often kind of push it aside and go on because we're not sure what to do. We can't do hallelujah because it wasn't what we prayed for and it doesn't seem right. We live in North America. We want what we want. We can get it. It's tough. I got to thinking about all those people Jesus healed. Where do you think they are today? The blind people have got their sight, the lame people have got, like they're living in some little commune in Palestine somewhere. They all die. And I just imagine this person who was lame and for whatever 40 years or 38 years, that's what it was. Yeah, we talked about that about a month ago. Lame for 38 years, Jesus healed them. And 19 years later, they start with a dementia or something. Where's Jesus? I need this fixed. No Jesus.
And they died.
And so we look at these fixes that happen, and we're grateful for them. I don't mean to downplay them. But we live in a world in which all those things are temporary. And what do we do? And what is the mourning into dancing? The mourning into dancing, or the sadness into dancing, or the sadness to joy. I love that definition of joy and happiness. The sadness to joy happens when things get fixed, but otherwise it's just sadness into more sadness, I guess. Another option is for us to read the psalm the way it was intended. So I'd like to take a look at that. So, number one, the psalm's not about us. It's about God. The psalm is about praising God. And our part in the psalm is that we get to do the praising. So we're the ones who get to say, woohoo, thank you God for what? Now let's think about that for a minute. What happens is that we are invited, as the psalm reminds us, we're invited to recognize God. We're invited to recognize the God who created all. We're invited to recognize the God who created us with a purpose. The God who loved us enough to send his son to teach us how to live, to show us how to live, to die for us, to rise again. We're invited to praise the God who sends us his word so that we know how much he loves us and how to live. Send us his Holy Spirit, the God who surrounds us with people who care deeply about us. We wish for heaven, everything perfect. And what we get is little bits of heaven all over the place in our life. And our invitation is to recognize them and celebrate them. And so we praise God for that. Praising God isn't dependent on the circumstances of our lives. Is that okay to say? Now, for those of you who have spent time outside of North America, you're going, yeah. For those of us who live here, we're so used to everything going our way that we don't get that. And we say, well, how am I supposed to praise God if I'm not happy? If I'm not getting what I want? Because, as we so capably heard a few minutes ago, we have a sense of joy. And so the Bible tells us stories to get this through our head. And history tells us a few more. I'd like to just run a few of them by you. So I imagine the story of the children of Israel leaving Egypt. They've just been freed as slaves. So are they happy? Are they full of joy? Oh, yes, they are. And so they're putting on their dancing hats, and they're just dancing through the desert, happy as bugs. And they come over a hill, and there they see the Red Sea. Where's the bridge? Where's the ferry? Can't see it. They look around. Here come the Egyptians. So what do? Off go the party hats, on go the sackcloth and ashes, and they're sitting there whining. God goes, oh man, I'm still here, people. So opens the parts of Red Sea, they go through, and then they're happy again. On go the party hats, and the story of the 40 years in the wilderness is a story of them taking this hat on and off all the time, and God's going, but I'm here all the time. Don't you get it? Even when things are bad, you can celebrate, you can have joy, because you know I'm here. 2 Kings chapter 6 is a delightful story. Elisha is in this town called Dothan. And so he gets up in the morning to have his walk, and he looks out over the fence, over the wall, and there's the Syrian army. And he says, oh, morning. And he goes for his walk, and he's whistling the tune of, you know, Mr. Rogers or something. And his servant gets up. And he looks out and he freaks. He goes, ah, the Syrians are here. Big army. We're little. We're toast. And he runs to grab Elisha and he shakes him. He says, did you see the Syrians? And he said, yeah. Did you see the Syrians? Come on. And Elisha said, what's the issue here? They're big and powerful. We're little. We're finished. And Elisha says, but God is here. And he said, the Syrians are here. And so Elisha prays, and he says, God, open their eyes. Delightful story. You're going to read this. And so God opens the servant's eyes, and there he sees the skies full of the armies of God, horses and chariots of fire. All of a sudden, the Syrians don't seem like an issue. It turns out they're not. because Elisha saw something more. That's the point of the psalm. We see something more than just our circumstances. We see this amazing God who walks with us, bringing us little bits of heaven. The disciples and followers of Jesus, Good Friday, they're standing there saying, oh, it's all done. We wasted 3 years. It's all over. Easter morning, Jesus comes along and says, Mary. He says, hey, Thomas, come here. Feel my side. Peter, feed my sheep. And he says, why are you so wound up? Didn't I tell you this? What? How big's your memory here, folks? Come on. It was simple. I'm always here. And history is full of these stories. We have a story in the New Testament. Paul and Silas in prison, inappropriately, and they're chained there, and they shouldn't have. Paul's a Roman citizen. Everything's wrong. They should be writing letters to the editor and complaining and hollering at. What are they doing? Singing? Really? I think they had the German hymn book. They're singing these songs. Why? Because they have joy. And their excitement, their joy, their dancing is not dependent on their circumstances. The Anabaptists, they got them tied to the stake, they're about to light the fire, and what are the Anabaptists doing? Singing. They have the Auswand, that's a different one. They're singing. Makes no sense, people. I watched the movie. Have some of you seen the movie And When They Shall Ask? Yeah, amazing. I think it might be in the library here. I have to check with Ryan. Ryan said it's not. We'll put it in there. So in the story, I'm amazed. They're on this train, and they're coming through this gate when they're free. And what do? They start singing, you know? I can imagine the person at the front, turn to number. No, they just started singing spontaneously this hymn, right? And I watched the movie, and I'm thinking, people, don't you remember? You lost everything. Some of you were wealthy, and it's gone. Some of you saw family members killed in terrible and horrific ways, which should be giving you nightmares for the rest of your life. What is the matter with you? And they're singing. Because why? They see the bigger picture. God is at work. Their circumstances don't dictate their sadness. I'm not saying we don't get sad. We do. Brokenness tears us apart, and sometimes the joy is with tears flowing down our face because of what's going on. Life hurts. Death and disease and mental illness and financial ruin and broken relationships and all of that stuff tears at us because we were built to be in heaven where things are well and everything is good. But God says, you're here and that's there. And you're going through these bumps, but don't define yourself by the negative. Through the tears, remember, we have a joy which sees something larger. And God has surrounded us with little pieces of heaven. God's promise never to leave us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. What other things do you have in your life that are little pieces of heaven? Some of you have a sense of security. You don't have to worry about where your lunch is coming from. Some of you have family members who just love you insanely. I'm so fortunate, I do. Some of you are in a church family, which we have come to see as the most caring, loving bunch in the world. You made us feel at home. And all of you, I trust, feel that same way, that when you come here, this church is a little piece of heaven. Maybe we can put that on our bulletin, right? North Carolina Mennonite Church, a little piece of heaven. You hear what I'm saying? The picture is larger. The picture is larger. And so what the psalmist does is he turns to us and says, God is there through all the things you go through. The difficult ones, the joyful ones, the painful ones, the exciting ones, as Kathy's prayer indicated earlier. But in all of that, we have a joy which that can't turn away. Because when we turn to follow God, we
turn your sadness into dancing. Dancing. So much dancing.
Let's respond with the song, the promise from Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord. If you need the words to this song, it's 584. If you just want to sing it without the words, please do that. Sing it through twice.
Before we close the service, we want to do something for Gary that he has done for many of us. We want to pray for him. So Tim and I will pray. We would invite you to come to the middle. Gary and anyone who would like to come up and lay hands on him, everyone else, let's rise and we can pray.
Loving God, Lord of all health and wholeness, you are the source of all life.
We don't really know why we have to get sick, Lord, but we do know your promise, that no matter where we are or what we are called to endure, you are there in the midst of it with us, never leaving our side.
In the coming weeks, as Gary enters the care of doctors and surgeons, we entrust him into your care as well. You are the great physician, and we pray that you will guide the hands and minds of the doctors as they do their work.
We also pray that you will be with Gary and with his family, giving them the peace and strength needed during surgery, treatments, and recovery, and giving Gary especially the patience needed to sit at home. Lord, be Gary's rest. Be his light, be his strength, and his comfort. Amen.
Just to remind you that before the cake, there's a quick meeting here, so... My dear, dear family, I pass on to you the blessing of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Now please stand for the dancing song. May God grant you a blessing. And for the third line, let's say, may God be with you. In Africa, apparently dancing and singing go together. So if you don't feel comfortable here today, take it with you and do some kitchen dancing at home. Oh, sorry, 422.
You a blessing.
Just a reminder that we have a quick vote yet after the service, like right now, we're doing this.